Hello and welcome to the GC Youth Ministry Podcast. This workshop was presented at the 2018 Global Youth Leaders Congress in Kassel, Germany. For other resources like this, visit us online at youth.adventist.org.
Okay, good afternoon. Are you guys ready? No, this one's here. We are ready. Our seminar will be very short, 30 minutes. I want to give you time to relax, connect with your friends. This is the time. Time is running out. Okay, let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for this afternoon, for allowing us to come here and learn, be better youth leaders in our local churches, conferences, or unions, or divisions. So we want you to be our teacher this afternoon. Speak to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I want to begin by introducing myself to you. This will help you to know me better, because some of you maybe have been reading about my name, or reading some literature or materials that I've developed through my service at the General Conference. And it will help you to understand where I'm coming from and where I'm going. I was born in Tanzania. Tanzania is in East Africa, a beautiful country. If you don't know the geography of Africa, in Tanzania, that's where we have the largest game reserve in the world called Serengeti. All the animals, it's like God brought all the animals in Tanzania. So Mount Kilimanjaro is also found in Tanzania and other things. Born in a Christian home, Adventist home, I'm a third generation of Adventism. My father was a pastor, and I really wanted to be a pastor at a very early age. At 9 years old, I was already preaching, imitating my father. Since we were living in a mission compound, I would collect all the young boys and the girls Sabbath afternoon, and I would pretend to be the preacher. And sometimes I would pretend even to officiate weddings. I would say, who wants to be a wife? Who wants to be a husband? And I say, okay, come forward. Then I would really pretend to be to have a wedding, a mock wedding. And after that, I went to Solusi University, where I got my first degree, seminary. And this is very interesting. When I finished the seminary education, I was told I was going to be a local pastor in Tanzania. 2 weeks before flying back to Tanzania, I received a letter saying, we cannot employ you because there is no money, no budget to employ a graduate from Solusi. So I came back, not discouraged. I came back willing to do anything for God. I decided, no matter what, I'll be a pastor in God's church. So when I came back, my father was the union evangelist. I went to him. I said, Dad, look, I don't have a job. Just include me in your team. Pay me per diem, no salary. I will help you. I will organize programs for you. I'll be the platform chair. Just give me per diem. My father said, are you sure? I said, yeah. So for 6 months, I was just receiving a per diem, not a salary, with my degree. You know, I never worried anyway. I was just happy, excited. Then it happened one day. A conference president walked in this crusade where I was the chairperson of the evening. I was the platform chair. And I was conducting songs. I was young, energetic, and I loved the Lord. I was just full of energy. And The president said to them, after the meeting, he came to me and said, Baraka, you are a youth leader. I need you. And he picked me up. So I have never done pastoral work in my life. From the seminary, I skipped the pastoral level. I became a youth director at the local conference. And from there, I did a long, very exciting journey in my profession, my ministry. I served at the local conference, served at the union level, division level. I served 10 years, general conference 15 years, and a total about 4 decades in youth ministry. And it helped me because whenever I traveled, I go to a union, I run seminars. Some people will trick you. They will start saying, well, it doesn't work at this level. I said, I've been there. I got my T-shirt there. I know it. It works. Then they keep quiet. So that's how God prepared me for that. Of course, I went to Andrews and da-da-da-da. But I'm not worried about Andrews. I'm just here to share with you how God led me in my ministry and how I was so successful. I was not, in my life, I was never a one-term director. I always hit 2 terms or 3 terms. Because don't allow yourself to be a one-term director. So work hard. Prove yourself. Let work fight for you. Don't let people talk about you or fight for you. Let your work speak for you. And so I'm going to share with you things that I enjoyed doing, and you can pick up some. Some may say, well, doesn't work for me. Fine. I'll just share with you what made me successful. So, I have about 14 secrets that I will share with you, and I'll speak from experience. I'm not bragging, but this is my history. This is my ministry. This is what I've done. This is what the Lord has done through me. In fact, I think I'm very old because I meet young people here. They say, I met you when I was a pathfinder, 10 years old, and now I'm married. I have children, and Muganda is still there. I feel like I'm Caleb. When he said, give me that mountain, he was still the same at 40. When he said, give me that mountain, he was in his 80s, he was still the same. And we can be the same too. So I'll give you 14 points and we're going to fly. It will be quick because I'll try to be very brief. And if you have any questions, you can ask. Linda, okay, I got it. Okay, number one. What helped me and drove my ministry was everywhere I went, the first thing was to develop a vision for my ministry. I asked a question, Baraka, where do you want to take this department to? And after 5 years, after 10 years, where do you want to leave this department at? So I had to pray, ask God, give me a vision for this conference. Give me a vision for the general conference. And this was driven from my philosophy. It became my philosophy because it was supported by the Bible too. Because the Bible in Micah 3 verse 6 says, without a vision, people perish. And there are some youth leaders who have no vision. They come to the church, they come to the office, they are empty, and they spend the whole year empty, they live empty. You don't have a vision. When you have a vision, it keeps you busy. You have a job to achieve, because when you have no vision, you don't care. You just come, you just say, hey, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. Well, it's all right. Can we do this? Oh, yeah, do it. No. When you have a vision, you come up with a strategy, you come up with plans. People know there is a vision. Sometimes I was under conference presidents or union presidents who don't have a vision as well. And when you have a leader who has no vision, you share your vision with him, and he will say, wow, really? This is what you want to do? So don't allow yourself, because your president doesn't have a vision, your pastor doesn't have a vision, therefore, I have no vision. Develop a vision. That's the first thing. When they appoint you, when they elect you, the first thing you ask God, God, give me a vision. I want to do something big for my union. I want to do something big for my general conference, if I'm at the general conference. That's how I did. Because vision is the willingness and the ability to articulate the goals for which we are striving. So when you have a vision, you say goal number one will be 1, 2, 3, 4. You list all your goals. And you have the outcome, the big picture. You know, because when I asked God for a vision, I said, God gave me the vision. I said, okay, within the first 5 years, I have to develop the first book on youth ministry for the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And we have it. Within 5 years, the book was out called Get It Right. If you don't have it, please buy it. It is so rich. That's the first book of youth ministry in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. We used to have pamphlets here, there. Muganda said, no, we can't run a cheap ministry, because youth ministry is so precious. And we came up with a huge book, about maybe 300 or 400 pages. Get It Right. Okay? And some of the things that God gave me to do at the general conference, I'll share with you as we go. Okay? Vision is so important in youth ministry, and it serves as a road map for the future. So the first thing you do, once you are elected, once you sit in that office, have a vision. Then this comes second. I'm going to skip this one because time is running. I know myself. I like to talk. And let's go to number two. Once you have a vision, throughout my journey, I get appointed. The next thing, I lock myself in the office. I look at the empty wall. I say, God, what do you want me to do? In fact, when they elected me at the general conference, I froze. When they came to me, they said, Dr. Muganda, you'll be the World Youth Director. I said, who, me? You know, it's so sweet when you get a job which you never even expected, amen? Yeah, but if you are campaigning for it, you want to be excited. I got frozen. I said, me? I just came to the session to enjoy and myself, get materials and move on. They said, no, you'll be now the World Youth Director. And I was in Utrecht. This is in Europe here, Netherlands. And I'm walking. People don't know me. This is just Muganda. So I hear people say, Muganda who? Muganda who? Man, even the name is hard. I said, now you're going to learn that hard name. But when they appointed me to be the World Youth Director, I froze. But when I got back to the office in Washington, I faced the empty wall. I said, war? What do I do? God, what do I do?